Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis. WEEI.
WEEI.
Pride is the devil. Think you got a hold on me. Pride's a devil. And left so many R.I.P. Pride's a devil. Think you got a hold on me. Pride is a devil.
Pride is a devil, Brad. But I've said that before. Yeah, many times.
Why? What's the meaning behind it?
I don't know. I don't know this one.
Oh, it's just J. Cole. It's a good song.
J. Cole?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Nick on the controls today. Ken and Bradfield here in for Curtis, who is on baby watch. No baby yet. We will keep you posted.
Ooh. By the way, you should promote. You're promoting the AM side of 850 or the
well, both. Yeah, you know, part of the EI brand.
You should promote the new TikTok page.
We do have a new TikTok page, thanks to your son Colby Bradfo, who launched the TikTok site. Great job by Colby.
Yeah,
good ideas. We're going to incorporate.
I can't
those.
Wait, Steve and Fall River, to get on the TikTok page.
We'll see if he can rank social media outlets here for us in a minute. We ranked everything today. Top 10 athletes in Boston sports, face of Boston sports. We just ranked the GMs.
You've had a couple.
He posted his pet monkey on TikTok.
Oh, boy. Courtney back Monday. She's back off the St. Bart's honeymoon. That'll be interesting.
Man.
Laird, Courtney, and Razor Monday. That
what?
Is a show.
If we're going to – speaking of lists, let's make a list of the things that will be talked about most on Monday. As a person driving the ship, what percentage of the talk will you allow the honeymoon?
Well, you have to talk about it. Some of it. I think people are interested in how it went.
No, but I understand.
We may have a new Bruins coach for Razor to comment on.
Ooh.
And a cup winner that didn't end last night. Tampa takes it back for another game. You think they could come back from down 3-1 to the Avs?
Absolutely.
Well, everybody's talking about
it.
Yeah,
everyone's talking.
But really, we're talking a lot of Red Sox today because they deserve it. They're 17-4
17-4 in June.
That's a hell of a month. They were 10-19. Did you think it was over at 10-19?
No, but we had started talking about what are you going to do with Devers and Bogarts.
And that, a great point, because that totally changes everything, the whole outlook of the future of the team.
I said this to you guys when I was on with you at the golf tournament, which, by the way, excellent job. The golf coverage for EI last weekend was
we had fun. You did a great job on location. You got yelled at by some Irish guy who thought you were talking too loud. You got shushed.
Yeah, well, he doesn't understand the passion that resides inside me when I talk about golf. But what was I going to say? I forget. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know where we were. Red Sox.
Yeah,
and they've had a great month.
they did. I apologize, but it's just the fact that you have Bogarts. And, I know what I was going to say. When with you and Curtis, it was. We're talking about this team, how we just haven't seen a team like this in a long, long time. So we get a Colby. There goes Colby right past. So, sorry, squirrel. But we haven't seen a team that has this many guys who are basically going into either the last year of the contract or you think they're going to be traded that are important guys. It's crazy.
It is strange. Like, as much as I just put Bloom at the top of the GM list in town for what he's done, and he's had some great small-time acquisitions who have turned into big contributors. You have no idea what his approach is. Nobody has any clue what he's doing. Does he know what he's doing? And do he and Cora get along? Because it has seemed at when it was 10-19, those threads were starting to come apart again.
I think that as long as they keep winning, they'll get along. Nope. Is that fair? But I think that
Cora is so important, guy. I mean, in terms of the importance of a manager in baseball, is he Exhibit A?
Are we going to do a list? You want to make lists.
Most important
You want to make a list? Most important. Most important coaches/managers
yes.
in Boston sports.
Or just in sports, period. Who's more important?
Well, Yeah, I mean, Cora is he the MVP? Is he more important than Devers? Is Alex Cora more important than Rafael Devers?
Well, he has pieced together a bullpen that has nobody good except for
8 Mile.
8 Mile, and I guess you could say Hauk, who's now become somewhat reliable.
And Strom.
Yeah, and Big Fudge when he was on.
Yeah, I mean, there's pieces there, but you need the guys. Like, they know, they say, oh, you know what, Schreiber's a guy, and then Hauk's the guy. But after that, I don't know if they say absolutely.
If you were the manager and you look out there and it's Hansel Robles, like, what have you done to me? Why are you punishing me, Hyatt?
I mean.
So maybe you're right. Maybe Cora's making Bloom look better than
even last trade deadline, you know, Bloom ended up being right. Right, he ended up getting two of the better relievers at the trade deadline
and
Robles and Davis and Schwarber. But at the time, I'm sure that Cora was saying, what? You got who? You got what? I mean, you got this guy who's trying to pick fights in Toronto, Hansel Robles.
Where's Rizzo?
And you got Austin Davis, who I have to send out there for 50 pitches to get through a blowout in Detroit. You know, so there is like this. There is a benefit of the doubt you have to give Bloom a little bit, but you cannot also not criticize him for the way that things were set up coming into this year with a bullpen. I mean, you just have to.
617-779-7937. Steve in Fall River is hanging in today here on the Ken and Curtis Show. Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Steve, what's your TikTok account?
What is it, buddy?
Yeah, what's your TikTok?
I don't have one yet. Oh, I don't have a YouTube channel. I don't have a TikTok.
I like it yet. At some point, I will.
The world according to Steve. Anyways, last time I called this show, Rob, this particular show that you're filling in on, I was a little upset with the prognostication about the season. The first 8-10 games, it was soliloquy of the whole season. It's like, wait a minute, it's a long season. It's baseball. Relax. Now you guys are talking about the Yankees. It ties into what I was telling them. You have no way of knowing where the Yankees are going to be in the middle of September. You people are talking like it's September 7th, and the Yankees have done everything they're going to do, and the Red Sox have done everything they're going to do. There's so much baseball to be played. There's so many moves, injuries. Isn't there a trading deadline coming up?
Mm-hmm.
I told this host of this show, I look at a baseball season in 2.5-week increments. They said, what are you talking about? I said, this is a long season.
This is the KJ philosophy.
27 games.
Barrett loves this philosophy. Go ahead. 27 game chunks.
It's 4 or 5 seasons. They said, what are you talking about? What did this guy on the show? It's like, what am I talking about? You can't tell me on May 1st the Red Sox are out of the playoffs. Tell it to me.
Oh,
this is what we were hearing. It was, and now they can't win the World Series. It's June 25th.
Well, you got to admit, at 10-19 with the Rays, the Jays, and the Yankees, it looked intimidating.
It doesn't matter. It matters how far they are. If you're more than 5 games out in the loss column on September 1st from the playoffs, you got no problem. If you're not, God bless you. You get the month of September.
Yeah, well,
I feel like Steve
was very high-pitched.
He was very energetic today.
Yeah. So we have over half the baseball season left, correct?
But yes.
This team is going to make – both these teams will make the playoffs. Now,
well,
the Yankees are going to cruise.
As we see here, we're trying to figure out, like, how the Yankees can collapse, okay? They're a solid team up and down. Like, they're much more solid than the Red Sox because we
what is Tyone's, like 10-1 or something?
Yeah, we talk about the Red
Cortez
Sox. Well, if this breaks and this breaks and this breaks, okay, and then you can compete with the Yankees. The Yankees don't need anything to break. They're 52-19. 52-19. That's nuts. So fine. The Yankees, as we sit here, that's great.
Although last year at the All-Star break, Curtis and I buried the Yankees because they were awful. And, you know, we mocked them for a whole show. And then they turned it around and had a tremendous second half. So it could be the reverse this year, I guess. But it looks like their bullpen is, like, beyond fluke collapsing. Looks like the rotation's beyond collapsing.
The rotation, yes.
Yep.
They had to be active because I think they're 3-10 against us.
Oh, great pull.
Great pull. Excellent job.
And as soon as Sam Kennedy said that, it all went the wrong way.
It did.
But, yeah, I mean, They are amazing. They are 23-6 in their last 29 games.
Yeah, so
they had a 15-game home winning streak, longest since like the 60s.
So let's play this out. Okay, so if the series that Alex Cora is circling with his marker, which is when they play the Yankees.
Well, they play him a bunch this month.
Right.
In July, right?
Yeah, and they haven't played him in a long time. So when they play them, if you're going to get into a series with the Yankees right now.
7 games in July, 2 series. One here, one there.
So if you're going to get into a series with the Yankees right now, how can the Red Sox keep this hot streak? How can this manifest itself into actually beating the Yankees?
Well, Garrett Cole melts down.
Yeah, well, you have to get to the starters. Okay. I mean, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can find. But
this offense could.
But still, the biggest issue here is that, I mean, you went into Cleveland last night in a 9th inning, and you're holding. Like, all these wins
against
the good teams, the Cardinals and the Indians, like, you're still holding on by a nail. I get in the 9th inning.
So do they need to make a trade? Would you make a trade before the Yankee series next
week? Yes.
You add a bullpen arm.
Yes, I would.
This or next week?
Yes, I would. Yes.
But they won't.
No, they won't.
They'll go all the way to the deadline.
You know, Brian Bello, I would want him to pitch at Yankee Stadium. I want to get him his feet wet. If he's going to be part of this equation, which and we can talk to Brian Abraham at 12 o'clock about how he views it, what Brian Bello has to work on. But I absolutely believe that they think that Brian Bello is going to be part of the deal in the last couple of months, which is fine.
But the counter argument is, why would you make a trade now when you're going to cruise to a wild card? You're not going to catch the Yankees. I know Cora is obsessed with them.
Well,
you're right about that.
First of all, you're not cruising. It's not like you're cruising to a wild card.
You sort of are.
Well, I mean, you have the Blue Jays, Rays, Twins, and then White Sox. Yeah, I mean,
that's a four teams for 3 spots.
Fine. Yeah. Okay. But, you don't want to be the 4th team. I don't know if you know that.
Okay. Fine. I have confidence they'll beat out the Twins for the final wild card.
But there's no. Like, you still have to win. You still have to win games. I mean, you have to like position yourself as a legit team, a good team.
But you would pay a higher premium.
This is why,
now.
By the way, this is why, to your point. This is why I think they're not rushing with Whitlock and Eovaldi, because of exactly what you're talking about.
Now, Toronto, you're going up there next week, and they are a mess, right? Who's not playing because of COVID? Hauk's not going.
Duran's not going.
There's somebody else, too, right?
Not that I know of, unless Franchi isn't.
All right. Okay. But
worse. But, you know, it's like this is the Red Sox way. Someone steps up. Bogart sits.
Well, you have to hope so. Connor Siebel.
Well, yeah, well, this is another part of it, is that, you know, some of these guys, Bogart didn't play because I think he's somewhat banged up. You got to get these guys healthy. And so
I think you're defending Bogarts for that.
Why?
Because he was going to have the day off.
What do you mean defending him?
Well, he chose to play against Detroit but sit against a better team. You know, they won yesterday, but it was bizarre. It's a bizarre strategy. He wanted to play at home, I guess.
I heard Will Fleming on the broadcast say that he talked to Bogarts, and he said that it wasn't only his shoulder, but the wrist was bothering him, too. And going back to the last couple of days of spring training, his wrist was bothering him then. And the year before that, his wrist was bothering him.
Well, then why did he talk himself into the lineup Wednesday?
Well, I don't know if he tweaked it. I don't know if it just was – if it's just like you're maintaining – if you have to draw back on it, you have to make sure you get 2 straight days. He talked himself in the lineup because he hits the crap out of the ball at Fenway Park.
Well, this was the stuff that happened in 18 where Cora would put Arroyo at short – and they win a game when he hits
right.
a home run.
Like Mookie,
so that is a great
sign. Mookie would hit a home run and he'd sit the next day.
Yeah.
And then Hanley and
you'd
would
bitch
hit a
about
home
it. And then we exactly. Yeah. So that's a great sign last night. Last night was an awesome win. And Schreiber does it again, and he'll close in Toronto.
Yeah.
So you're going to get to see what he's like as a closer. So that's good.
That's fine.
He may be your closer the rest of the
year. You still got your guy or two short.
Yes.
I mean, you just are. And these other guys, they're pieces. They're fine, you know, strong.
Well, like tonight when Winkowski starts, you've gotten stuff out of Cutter Crawford you never thought you would. But how long can that continue?
Well, it could continue. And this is where Mutt's theory comes into play, because I think that you can throw out the Cutter Crawfords and those guys against, like, teams that they were throwing them out there against, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you go into Yankee Stadium, when you go into Tampa, into, you know, Tropicana Field, that place is nutty with the cowbells. And by the
catwalk.
Way, by the have you been there?
I've never been inside Trop. I've driven past it.
Oh, you just stayed at the Vinoy on your way to the Vinoy.
Yeah.
It's haunted. I don't know if you know.
No, down that little bridge that goes down.
Yes, I know. When you were,
what do they call that bridge?
Yeah, when you're on the beat.
Love that bridge.
Yeah. But when you go in there, you got to make sure that you have guys that can function, right? So they have some pieces, but when it comes to the ninth inning, like we saw last night, hey, good for Tanner Houck for getting Jose Ramirez out. But holy mackerel, if that's Aaron Judge, and don't give me the, hey, we got Hansel Robles.
How is he still in the team?
Well, because here's one of the reasons. You know what he does against Stanton and Judge? Like, he's literally like, he's the Stanton Judge guy.
Well, can they hide him until then?
What they're trying to do, I think.
Oh, boy. All right, 617-779-7937. All right, I want to get to something from the Shaughnessy article, which you've managed to read the Shaughnessy column.
I don't know how I did it.
You probably know what I'm going to present to you. And the very interesting approach from the Deshaun Watson camp to manage the suspension time upcoming, as per Dan Patrick's sourcing. We'll get
the Patriots
to both of
play
things.
The Browns, right?
Yeah, they do, week six. And that's a big development for the Patriots season. Nick LaPan has your trending here on Ken and Curtis with Brad Foote.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Congratulations on going on the Red Sox Hall of Fame, Andy.
Thank you. And really is an honor, you know, just to be inducted in the Hall of Fame with Boston and so many good players passed through to Boston. And I'm just happy to be one of them and also to have a great team that like we used to have when we play in 04 and 07. It's a blessing for me to be here.
Manny Ramirez on the Shaw's Stock Market Red Sox Network earlier this week with Joe Castiglione. I would say somewhat happy to see Manny, Joe, in the booth.
Oh, somewhat.
He was a little a little pleased. Also, the Rocket up there this week as well. Oh. Texter points out his son didn't even get in any of those games.
No.
How about Hinch not putting him in?
No.
And, God.
Yeah. I mean, Joe is, I mean, I think he was very happy to see Manny, but Clemens is at the top of the list. Clemens is on firmly entrenched on Team Joe. Well, yeah, I mean, I can go down the list of Team Joe, but I'm talking about former players. He loves himself some Clemens. And, and you know, it speaks to, I know you're going to get into Manny in a second, but I was on a show up in Maine, and they were talking about, I took great offense to Joe, like, fawning over Clemens because he took steroids. I'm like, well, sorry. I mean, he likes him. He covered him. Like, there's all these flawed human beings. I cover a lot of guys that I like that, you know, are flawed human beings.
And people were pretty nasty to Clemens when he came back, right?
Well, it was a big deal. I remember that first time he did. He actually sat up on the wall. We can't believe Roger Clemens is back at Fenway Park. And he was there for a Jimmy Flynn golf tournament, right? So, you know, so then now I think he's much more accepted back at Fenway Park. And, you know, it speaks to like all these guys. Again, flawed human beings, no question about it. The Schilling thing comes up a lot, right? I mean, Schilling is persona non grata around here, and especially in the last few years.
Mostly Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island. I mean, Rhode Island and then, you know, the social media stuff. But at the same time, he did a lot for ALS. He did stuff for ALS before anyone was doing stuff for ALS. And, you know, he actually, as a former employee, WEEI.com, I know that all the good he did for our business. So, but it's, I'm not going to, as I said to these guys, I'm like, I'm not going to change your mind. I mean, I'm not going to change your mind how you feel, the guttural reaction you hear or feel when Joe talks to Clemens or talks to Manny. I'm not going to change that, but I can also tell you why he feels that way.
But I think Joe, wouldn't you say Joe is, we could put a poll out, I guess. Most fans seem to be pro Clemens and pro Manny.
Right now.
And both have made efforts somewhat to come back and sort of heal all the wounds.
Listen, I mean, look at what A-Rod did, right? I mean, A-Rod is a perfect example of this. A-Rod was a guy who hired people to hold up signs outside his hearings in New York. I mean, he did some despicable stuff, I think. And yet, he went on ESPN ESPN.
He's charming enough, they overlooked it.
They overlooked it, and he kept getting paid for ESPN. He's not even that good of a broadcaster. That's what's maddening about it.
Right.
And so, like, there is, you can always do this with people. With Clemens, like, he comes on, he seems like a likable guy. People like what he did for the, but
you know, when I saw him in the booth, like, I wasn't here for the Clemens years, but his status is like, you see Roger Clemens, you're like, wow, that's
a star. Because first of all, his literal physical status
is
he's a big guy. He's
a big guy.
And he looks like you would think a iconic figure would look like.
Good word. He is iconic.
He is iconic.
Which so is Manny. But this, I want to get to the Shaughnessy clip because it is interesting. Now, Shaughnessy obviously was here in the summer of 08 as you were covering this team. But he writes this in his column in the Globe. What is up with the Red Sox pushing Manny Ramirez redemption tour? I had a front row seat when Manny blatantly quit on the Sox in the summer of 2008, which Manny freely admits, and got himself traded to the Dodgers. Terry Francona says those 08 Sox may have been his best team, but they were beaten by the Tampa Bay Rays in a 7-game ALCS. Manny, with the Dodgers, went on to hit .396 with 17 homers and 53 RBIs in 53 games. Think he would have made a difference here? Instead, he quit on you and probably cost you a championship. Then we learned of his 3 PED tests. Now he's in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. The Red Sox love him. He was Kyrie Irving when he left here. Now, what's your reaction to that?
There's a lot of truth to it, but there's also a lot where, first of all, they got Jason Bay back, and Jason Bay was really good. They made it to the 7th game of the ALCS. If you're going to tell me Manny was going to have a great game, that'd get fine. Like, super.
Especially with the PEDs he was on.
Yeah, I mean, well, exactly. Fine. I mean, do you talk about front row seats? Like, I had a front row seat for that. Starting in January of 2008, when the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. I was at the Herald at the time. The Patriots were in the Super Bowl, and my responsibility was go over to the athlete's performance where Manny was working out. Now, Manny hadn't even talked to the media for years upon years upon years. I show up, and he starts blabbing away about Julio Franco and doing this whole, like, and he had his options, right? They knew that his options were up. This was going to be a contract thing. Covering him from January to June was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen. Like, he was great. He was a good player. And then I cornered him in the All-Star game in a little alcove in Yankee Stadium Visitors Clubhouse, and he went off on John Henry. The option thing had totally gotten his head, and he became insane. And obviously, the Jack McCormick thing was inexcusable.
What did he went off on Henry, by the way?
Like, basically saying, like, saying how dare he not like pick up my options.
Oh,
I mean, it was I have to go back and look at it, but to the point where John Henry actually offered a rebuttal to it. But that was the first time, like, wait a second. And I'm sitting there like, holy mackerel. Like, I can't, you know, sometimes you're interviewing someone, mm-hmm. you're like, you're sticking the tape recorder closer to his mouth. You realize this is right here. Right.
Yeah.
And so all the vitriol that Francona and a lot of these guys have toward Manny, I get that. And also,
Francona still.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Shaughnessy would know better than I because he wrote a book with Francona. He has a great relationship with him. But even Manny, like, you look back at 3 years from then, 2011, he gets, I think, arrested for, you know, having an incident with his wife.
Yeah.
So now he comes back a couple of years ago. He found God. He's changed everything. You know, he talks about it. And so with the Red Sox pushing the Manny Redemption Tour, well, you know, we can't ignore what he did for the Red Sox, right?
And most Red Sox fans don't, right? They credit him. Would you say they credit him with, like, turning it around?
Was he on steroids when they won in 2004?
Probably. I don't know.
Right? Yeah. I mean, evidence would suggest that he was.
Yes.
I don't think anyone's turning away and saying, give back the championship. Because you know what? Probably other guys on both sides were.
By the way, he also said something to the effect of, David did it the right way, I didn't. This week, you know, he credits Ortiz with not taking PEDs.
You want Curtis to run in the studio right now?
But, of course, he could be saying that to help out his buddy. But, you know, he didn't have to say that.
Maybe. I mean, but... But it's Manny definitely didn't do it the right way at many, many turns. Manny is such a complex figure. Like, I don't.
But that contract signing, when did he first sign? 2000? 2000?
2000, yeah.
that was a major
change
the whole landscape of the region. And I think fans just that, like him coming here changed everything.
Well, if you want to talk about having paying for certainty, having the foundation guy, right? That was a perfect example. I mean, you lucked into Ortiz, didn't you? You lucked into Ortiz, and that worked out, and you were able to go on the runs in 04 and then 07 because of that. But part of that was Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez was, like, an incredible player. And so when people...
So it's a total double standard.
With
like,
what?
With him and Kyrie. He did the same thing that Kyrie did in 08. Well, not really, because it's just Kyrie didn't bring
Kyrie didn't
championships.
Win. Kyrie, yeah, I mean, Kyrie, they don't win these championships without Manny.
But the departure was similar, you would say.
Yeah, I mean, the departure at the end is chaotic and similar and everything else. I mean, it's why you were experiencing the good times with Manny was why you were experiencing the good times with Kyrie. Nobody really knew what was going on. Nobody knew he was crazy. We're just saying, oh my goodness, thank you, Kyrie. Yeah. Thank you for sitting on the stool with Scalabrine and saying that you're coming back. Oh, what a great news.
Wiggy still wants him back. It's so bizarre. 774 texter. I'm not so much concerned about the steroid use of Manny, but more of when he pushed down the traveling secretary.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible.
But yet he is praised. Joe loves him. He gets the plaque. He's in the Hall of Fame. Like,
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing about, from my perspective about the whole Manny thing, is that covering him, it was just such an unbelievable player. And I know that he had illegal substances coursing through his veins, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the same
time. Well, I don't know. Maybe he started.
No,
after.
No. Well,
maybe it was that.
Well, he was popped twice for it, right?
While he was here?
Not why he's here, yeah. But yeah,
so,
who knows, right? But the thing that's like discouraging is that I witnessed this hitter that was so incredible and everything
hitting machine, my God.
But also, and this is where like the whole like steroid thing I have a problem with, because there is an element of, yeah, steroids can help you. Like Barry Bonds was a great hitter before he started taking steroids. But you have to be a good hitter, right? And so with Manny, The things that he did as a hitter were so unbelievable, where he would talk about, you would talk about like him just like purposely taking two strikes because I know I'm going to get the hit. When he came back from, I think it was in 2007, he come back from an injury at the very end of the year. And he just basically, all he did was try going the other way. All he did was opposite field singles. He purposely was doing this just to get his timing. And next thing you know, K-Rod, boom, see ya, 500 feet. So anyway, I don't begrudge anybody who, like, including Shaughnessy, said, like, how dare you celebrate Manny because of all the things he did, including the thing with his wife. That was despicable. But at the same time, like, a lot of these people, A, in the regular Hall of Fame, B, in the Red Sox Hall of Fame, they're flawed human beings, too.
401 texter, I'll take two titles for his bad last year. If Kyrie won two, we'd be okay with him. And Manny never disrespected the fan base. Did Manny ever stomp unlucky?
Well, he did pee. You know. He did pee in the wall.
Pee in the wall. 413, Shaughnessy is a miserable human. He's wagging his finger at those who aren't as miserable. A few bad decisions don't negate a decade or more of greatness. And or charity.
I mean, Clemens is, they're two different human beings and take two different tacks, but Clemens is, do you get the outcry that the Red Sox are putting Roger Clemens in the Red Sox Hall of Fame?
We had a text about it here. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Not nearly as much. 617 texter, Manny is the best offensive player in Sox history. I don't think you can say that with Ted.
I mean, Ortiz, too.
Ortiz. Speaking of which, Jeff in Watertown.
Oh,
this
man,
what is
Jeff.
This, the Bradfo show?
Let's go. All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Kenny Curtis.
Jeff, I thought you were going to call in to get the reaction to the Alex Benelis interview at 12:30, but thank you for calling in.
Well, I'll call back tomorrow about that. I wanted to just, the Manny thing, like, it's amazing to me because absolutely at the time when we signed him, like you said, it was certainty. It was like, my God, we know what you're going to get. You get 30 home runs, 100 RBIs in his sleep. But it's funny now because I think most people, when they look back at that era, they think about Ortiz. I mean, it's all about Ortiz and what Ortiz did. And, Ortiz was definitely the Robin, to his Batman. Manny was the man for, most of that, that early part of that contract. I mean, he was the guy and Ortiz was the compliment. And it's just funny now, because, and I think that's really helped Manny in a way, because I think people kind of now look back and sort of forget, like, oh yeah, you know, it wasn't just Ortiz, it was Manny as well. And so it doesn't quite, you know, it was, if everything just hung on Manny, if it was Manny was the hero in every game, then people might say, like, oh, it's tainted. But I think Ortiz has kind of given him some cover as well.
But Jeff, do you even think about 08 and when he quit on the team, or doesn't even come to mind?
Oh, I do. Yeah, no, I absolutely do. And because it was just outrageous. I mean, it was quitting. So, you know, and I hold a grudge against Clemens, because Clemens had a chance to come back here at a point when the Red Sox were in contention. They needed a starter, and, you know, and he ended up going to the Yankees. And to me, it was like, what a perfect thing. I forget what year that was, but there was, you know, there was real talk of him coming back. And if he had come back, he would have broken the record for pitching. He would have been the Red Sox all-time pitcher. It would have been like the full circle, and they were a contender, and he would have helped them. And instead he chose the Yankees. And at that point I felt like, you know, he wanted his brand. He wanted to be remembered as a Yankee, which the Yankee fans were never going to do. They don't. They don't remember him as a Yankee. And he threw away a chance to come back and be a Red Sox. And so, yeah, and I hold a grudge against him. Hmm. And I don't hold a grudge against Joe, because Joe sees the best in everybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's a great
clear.
Way to
listen
put
to
it.
The guy, it's just listening to the guy for 40. He just, you know, he just thinks everybody is what the person he sees. He thinks that's who they are. And he just, you know, and he just sees the best in everybody.
All right. Good call, Jeff. So, in terms of grudge holding, you want another list? Manny, Clemens, Gronk, Brady, Kyrie.
If you had 10 TVs up and you were going to watch Grudge, the best grudges.
What's the largest grudge held by the region?
So, what do you say? Manny,
yep.
Clemens, Kyrie?
Brady and Gronk.
Oh, that's actually, it's not a terrible conversation. It's not a terrible one.
And I know I'm in the minority with Brady. I push that because it's like 70-30 people still love him.
But, yeah, I don't think Brady's certainly at the top.
But
of the
Gronk,
list.
There is like unexpected vitriol toward Gronk, which I don't quite get. They tried to trade him.
I think that so the top of the list, and people aren't going to say this because it was too long ago, was Clemens. Like the Clemens thing, like the you know, saying I want to be closer to Texas and then mm-hmm. going to Toronto,
yeah,
and then landing. With the Yankees, the dreaded Yankees.
But that's gone. It's forgotten. He's back.
I know. It's completely forgotten.
Because he's made efforts to make amends, I feel like.
And with Manny, it was like this shock and awe of literally like a couple weeks, and then you're like, just get rid of him.
It's just, gone bad. Yeah. We still remember the good times.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-7937. Do you agree with Shaughnessy that the Red Sox pushing the Manny Ramirez redemption tour was odd this week? Should you hold a grudge against
him? By the way, I was looking up Manny's numbers in the postseason runs. Holy mackerel.
Oh, my God. It's unreal.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean,
he and Ortiz, that 1-2.
I tell you what, the one that jumps out to me was the 2007, him and Ortiz, like carrying the Red Sox over the, I think it was the Angels.
That may be the greatest 1-2 punch in baseball history.
He had a 1740 OPS that series.
Yeah, unreal. More of Ken Curtis with Bradfield coming up.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
There we go.
A little more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Never a bad thing. Ken and Curtis. Bradfo in for Curtis. We're on Curtis Baby Watch. Curtis has texted and weighed in on the current debate, by the way. We're talking about holding grudges, grudge holding, all time in town, with Shaughnessy saying, basically asking, why isn't Manny Ramirez, who had the Redemption Tour, the Hall of Fame plaque awarded this week, why isn't there a larger grudge held against him? A couple texters throwing out other names. 626 texter Ray Allen is the top grudge for me. 413
really?
Parcells. Parcells grudge. In terms of the Manny stuff, the production on the field, 617 texture says this, production on the field overshadows antics off the field. He will always be remembered as a hero. But it is funny that he is a steroid user. Nobody can debate it. The numbers were artificial. So the production on the field in a sport where it does matter if you take steroids, but for some reason people overlook Manny's production on the field. Why does he get a pass? Whereas if Ortiz tested positive, and we had a test, people would care about it.
Well, people were sort of like had put Ortiz in the crosshairs all these years over and over and over with Chris Curtis like leading the charge.
Yes, he did. Still does.
But But, you know, Ortiz has been fending this off ever since the sample test in 2003. And he's passed all these tests. Ever since they started testing, they've passed all these tests. But he's still in the crosshairs. And so Manny was popped twice. I mean, he was legitimately.
Three times, right?
Was it three?
I think three.
Okay. But the thing is, I was saying this to you in the break. I don't think that for Manny, the perception of here, when you talk about holding grudges around here, I don't think people are focusing on that. I think they're focusing more on pushing down Jack McCormick,
yep,
forcing his way out of town. Because, as I said, let's be honest, in 2004, you don't think other guys on both sides, on all those sides, of all those teams, were taking stuff? And this is the problem, and I think this is what we're coming to realize.
But he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. No, we're not coming to realize it enough for him to get in the Clemens or Bonds.
No, because I think that the thing is that we can suspect and we can talk, but there's a difference between doing that and getting popped three times.
Yeah.
Right? And so for voters, they're like, well, you know, that's just – honestly, if you did it once, if Manny was caught once, he actually might have a chance. But the way voters see it is like – you're so
brazen.
No,
yeah,
like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, what are you doing?
It's like a Ryan.
But let's say you had mentioned in the break about some football players. I mean, let's not get this mixed up. Football players can do it three times. No one cares.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
Curtis has texted in his addition to the commentary is this. The Clemens situation has been forgiven only because of 04. If the Red Sox don't win, he is still hated. You agree with that assessment? I mean,
if Clemens wins,
you're saying if the Red Sox don't win a title in 04.
No, I know, and Clemens wins?
Yeah.
Oh, you say if they never win a
title?
If
they never win, people still hate Roger. He's not welcome back.
Yeah, I think it's still, I mean, I think it's a good point. I think it's one that, you know, there's a lot of things when it comes to the Red Sox, if they don't win, how people are viewed and how that changed everything. But still with Clemens, it's the time heal all wounds thing. I mean, that's what it is. He comes back. I don't think people even remember.
Not all wounds.
I know. Wow, that hit
Brady home. Is forever. Although Curtis says, the 30% of people that I say hate Brady will hate him until Mac wins. So I should hate Mac.
Well, how many? What's your? You said 30% people.
Yeah, hate's a strong word, but they don't like the way he's acting. They believe he's acting
once
like
again,
a douche.
Like the
Tampa Bay Lightning hype video this week.
The feeling for Tom Brady when he comes back last year. And the feelings for Tom Brady, even when we watch him this year, are going to be dramatically different around here than the feelings 2 years from now.
Yeah,
that's how
it's already lessening slightly. If he would just keep his mouth shut and stop rubbing salt in the wound, it would go away. I agree. Even sooner than that. Let's go to Glenn in Grafton, I believe. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Yeah, Manny, great player, but he's a total dank off field. Do you remember he quit on Tampa Bay? One day he just didn't show up. And don't forget, it was a huge news at the time, him and Euculus in the dugout, which he started.
Yep. Yep. No, I mean, there's a lot of Manny things. There's a lot of Manny transgressions. What are you laughing at?
Did he ever make the Bradfo show? It was pre-Bradfo show days.
Yeah, it was pre-Bradfo show days. Like I said, covering him, it was like the gift that kept on giving.
What about a book? God, you got the Joe Kelly book.
He
what about
actually,
the Manny book?
If you look at the Mike Lowell book, on the front cover, there's a saying from Manny about Mike Lowell on top of it, on the very top, okay, on Deep Drive. So he contributed to the book.
Well, that's it?
Well, what do you want?
You can't
want?
Get a whole book out of Manny?
I don't know.
A bestseller.
I do not want to. No.
What?
No. I only do the books I want to do.
Think about the advance you got for Kelly, and it's in the several thousands.
It's the theme. There's a theme. The baseball isn't boring theme.
Manny is right. Fits
no,
the theme.
I don't disagree. I think Manny would be a really interesting book, but try like actually nailing him down to talk about things.
Well, you're a journalist. Get on it, damn it.
But so when I remember one time, Manny was so complex, man. One time, Julio Lugo, God bless him, God rest his soul, he was in a bad place for about something. And he actually came back at me about something. I forget what it was. Like, I was almost walking away, and he comes. And Manny was the one that stepped in. And Manny, like, said to me, he said to me, he's going through some stuff. Like, just give him some space. Wow. Like Manny said that.
What about that?
I mean, and I said that 2008 going to Athletes Performance, and in case people don't know what that is, that's like a workout facility out in Phoenix. Pedroia was there. Euclid was there.
Uh-oh.
All these.
Careful the names you throw here. That might have been a hot workout
facility. Like everybody. Like it was all the college. There was a lot of college football players. It was a huge, huge place for people to go to train. And it was like Manny was just, he was like, I'm going to play like I'm Julio Franco. And I was totally like, I totally bought into the whole remaking of Manny for those 6 months. I totally bought into it.
Chris in Connecticut on, I think, Parcells. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just think you got to, real quick aside, Gronk's on the list because he could have come back and he didn't for the Patriots and he did for Tampa Bay, I think. But
well,
my main
yeah,
point
who's
is,
higher,
is,
Chris, before you go, who's
yeah,
like, here's
him.
A legit here's a legit question. Like who's higher on the list, Gronk or Brady? For Grudge.
Gronk. Gronk. Ooh. Great Brady's on there, but Gronk's higher.
Wow.
They're both on there. They're both on there. Brady, you know, same thing. He could have come back, but there's a little thing there. You know, did we offer him enough? You know, what was offered? Was it ridiculous? There's a little we don't know there. We know Gronk did not want to come back for the Patriots, and we know he came back and played for Tampa Bay. So that's why I would – they both belong on there, but Gronk is higher.
Okay.
But higher than both of them.
Yep.
Right.
Is Parcells.
But higher than both of them is Parcells. Absolutely.
And why?
I mean, this guy is in a hotel room scheming on his next job when he should be preparing for the Super Bowl. And how did we lose that Super Bowl? Punt returns, penalties, blown defenses. You know, one big play, bam, touchdown. Because yeah, they saw something that we weren't prepared for. Big time coaching slice of a blame pie. And instead of using his skills that he got hired for at the Jets to win a Super Bowl for the Patriots, he's sitting in a hotel room scheming up with the Jets for the next job. It's egregious. He's never, never, ever forgive him.
Right,
no, time does not heal that one, in my opinion.
Appreciate the thoughts. And he's not in the Patriots Hall of Fame yet, so maybe there's a grudge held there.
That is dumb.
By the way, how about have you read Becoming Manny, Inside the Life of Baseball's Most Enigmatic Slugger? Is that an autobiography?
Is that a book?
There's a book out there.
Okay, when was it published?
So I'm trying to find. 2009.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By Gene Rhodes, or Jean Rhodes. I don't know who that is. Is that a man or a
woman? Jean Rhodes.
But you could do the definitive Manny
book. One book at a time. One book at a time.
One book at a time.
One book at a time.
One great guest at a time here on the Ken and Curtis Show without Chris Curtis today. Baby watch, no baby yet. Brad Fozin, our good friend. I think we can both say that.
Yes.
Farm director of the Boston Red Sox.
The man who made your career.
He may have launched my career with an Andrew Benintendi connection in 2015.
I don't know. 15 you or tell 16. Me. When was the air mattress?
I don't know. He is the director of player development. He's the farm director. He can tell you about
Schreiber.
There's
literally nobody you would
Mayo.
Want to hear from more
this
than
is,
him.
This is what is driving a 17-4 month by the Red Sox, right?
And by the way, has pitched in the All-Star game.
Has pitched in the All-Star game to Jose Bautista, right, in the home
was
run derby.
Bautista?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was also the bullpen catcher in 2000.
When Ortiz hit the 2013.
Yeah, in the 13 series. And was on the field to celebrate, right? Was part of the. He had to be part of the celebration.
He had to be, yes.
Oh, yeah. World champion.
Lots to get to.
What a pump up. Brian Abraham next on Ken and Curtis.